This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Across Northern Ireland, on your radio and on BBC Sounds. This is The Stephen Nolan
Show! Hello, it's The Nolan Show with Holly Hamilton today. And of course, there was just one story dominating today. Storm Éowyn. A red warning came into effect in Northern Ireland at around 7 o'clock this morning. The country being battered by high winds today. I actually saw it myself driving in just before the red alert came into effect this morning. And even then, it just felt treacherous. Really very high winds, branches on the road, scaffolding down, rubbish right across the road, and right now there remains a danger to life, of course. On the programme today, we heard from all the authorities, from local government, the PSNI, the Met Office, Met Erin, the Fire Service, the British Medical Association, as well as our correspondents right across the country, keeping us up to date on the situation where they are. It is, of course, an ever-changing situation, but at this moment, the warnings remain in place. Please stay at home if you can and avoid going outside. Now, we are expecting the storm to progress and to move east as the day goes on, so just turn on Radio Ulster or Radio Foyle, or just keep across on the BBC News website and we will bring you key information as we get it. In the meantime, thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Stay safe. The Stephen Nolan Show! A very good morning to you. Holly Hamilton here. You are listening to The Nolan Show this Friday morning. Like I say, I hope you are all staying safe indoors. I hope you're taking on the advice. Northern Ireland being battered by Storm Éowyn. I was driving in very, very early this morning before that red warning came into effect. And even at that point, it felt absolutely treacherous. You know, there were branches across the road, bins blown into the street, because a small branch actually hit my car at one point. And I have heard since that there are actually trees down in the middle of the road causing closures and all sorts of things. So today, look, we really want to hear from you. We only have this for a few hours. We'll all get through it together. And I know that you will be aware that there are schools and universities closed, hospital appointments have been cancelled, flights cancelled, all the rest of it. But you are eyes and ears outside your window. If you're looking out and you see something that you think that we should know about, let us know. If you know of a tree down, electricity off, hazardous conditions, if you've lost a flipping trampoline and you want us to find it, let us know. No matter what, whatever is going on, we'll be chatting to all the authorities from the Met Office, Met Erin, the Fire Service, the PSNI. Let me know your questions. What is concerning you the most? And yes, that weather warning in place until this afternoon. The First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, you may have heard her earlier on in the morning on Good Morning Ulster, just telling people to please listen to the advice.
There's a genuine threat to life and property. So we're asking the public to be very safe, to be very cautious, to take every precaution to ensure that they don't take any unnecessary travel. Please just stay at home if you can. We're in the eye of the storm now. We are in the period of the red alert, but people can see for themselves the wind has been very much picking up overnight. We've just been briefed by the Civil Contingencies Group, by the PSNI, who are in their lead in terms of the storm response. And they tell us that the situation is as we have outlined yesterday. We're still in a period of jeopardy in terms of people's the damage that potentially could be caused as a result of the storm. Mm.
And the Deputy First Minister, Emma Little-Pengelly, has urged people to stay indoors.
The strong advice is to stay home. And that's important, of course, because if people go out, the risk to life is from debris because of the high winds. If people go out and get into a situation, then that is calling out those essential workers that are there. We don't want people to have to come out to deal with those. So we are advising everybody stays at home.
Well, the Alliance MP, Saoirse Eastwood for Lygon Valley, is on the line now. Saoirse, good morning to you.
Good morning, Holly.
How are you? Are you safe, first of all?
Yeah, I'm safe. I'm thinking of everybody that has to go out to work this morning, whether they're working in domiciliary care or in the emergency services, and people working in retail. It's very, very dangerous out there. And although I'm in a fairly sheltered area of Lisburn here, there has been a lot of damage and destruction in the more rural parts of the constituency. Main roads are closed, the Hill Hall Road's closed, and there are big blockages in roads around Ahaly, Ballinderry area. And really, this is a very serious storm. I know sometimes there's a real sort of reluctance to want to go, oh, they've got another weather alert or whatever, but, you know, this is really, really serious. The advice this morning is very much to stay at home, avoid anything so that you're not asking emergency services to go out just because you felt like popping out in the car for a wee jaunt to see what it looks like. Stay in. Do not attempt to move debris off the road yourself. There are a lot of live wires and cables down, and people won't be able to know the difference. So do not try and move anything. Do not try and get involved and being a hero. Leave that to the people whose job it is to do.
And did I see a tweet from you with a telegraph pole in midair? Where was that?
Yeah, that was the Blairis Road in Lisburn, and it's a more rural part of the constituency. It's fairly wide open, so it's going to get all the big gusts and the gales just coming right across there. And it's pretty scary whenever you think about it, because those are live wires. And also because it's literally clinging on a live wire and being blown across the road and up in midair. It's very, very dangerous. That's going to be replicated right across Northern Ireland this morning. So there is a reason for asking people to stay in. And there is a reason for asking people to avoid anything that they absolutely do not have to do.
And of course, people are aware of the dangers. Everybody was sent one of those alerts yesterday. Are people listening? Do you think people are responding to this? Because I'm still seeing people out walking about. Not many. I mean, the roads are pretty quiet. It's empty out there. But there's still the very few people who are still walking about and perhaps not heeding the warnings.
I think most people are taking it seriously. I mean, There's an awful lot of weather warnings these days, and, you know, some are very much, oh, there's a yellow warning. I think that's the lowest, isn't it, the yellow warning? You know, so you've got the likes of those coming out, and, you know, they should be, you know, acknowledged and noted. But whenever you've got a warning like this, which is a danger to life, you can clearly see how things can go wrong very, very quickly, given the situation that's out there this morning. I don't like sitting in the house any more than anybody else. I know there's people who will want to get out. They'll want to be anxious to make sure that maybe relatives and friends are okay. If you can get in touch with people safely, do so. But do not go out engaging in activities that you don't have to do. If you can pick up a phone, if you can send a text message to people, make sure they're okay. NIA are saying it's going to be a while before people are restored to the network. And I think we have to completely appreciate that those people going out in those conditions, they can't be asked to go out in the middle of this and attract further harm, not just to themselves, but to the network. So it will be a while before people will get their power restored. So sit tight and follow the advice and reach out if you need help.
So just stay with me just a moment. I've got Andrew on the line as well. And some of you might already have seen photos that Andrew has sent from the BBC Nolan social media accounts with debris, which is actually seems to have fallen from the top of a house in South Belfast this morning. Andrew's from the area and joins me now. Good morning, Andrew.
Hi, good morning.
Andrew, just tell me what the situation's like where you are.
Yes, so I work in the health service just in the Ulster Hospital, and on my way into work this morning, I drove down one of our roads out of the house, you know, a pedestrian road, and there was no issue there. Obviously, the wind was battering, but there was no debris. And my partner, who's also a doctor at the hospital, when she came back from her night shift only half an hour later, there was a wall had fallen, a collapsed wall completely onto this road, onto this pedestrian road, this main road that comes in and out of our house. So my partner had to park her car actually at the bottom of the road and had to walk because she couldn't get past this blockage of, you know, probably 50 breeze blocks on the ground, which would have been very serious if anyone was driving or walking on this main road in and out of our house.
And just to remind me, that's very early this morning, wasn't it?
Yes, so when I left, it was 6:30 a.m. and there was no debris in the road. And when she came back at about 25 past seven, the debris was blocking the road entirely.
And obviously, you were coming home from work in this situation. Your partner, rather, was coming home from work in this situation, so had no choice but to be on the roads. Do you feel like, from your partner's point of view, you know, I think, and we all did, I certainly did, I had it in my head, we've got this 7 a.m. red alert. Okay, so from before 7 o'clock, as long as we get back into our houses before then, we're safe.
Yes, I mean, it was a very dynamic picture, wasn't it, yesterday? And we sort of all were emailed in the trust at about 5 o'clock yesterday to say, look, if you can work from home, do. But for those of us who work in the emergency department, we needed to be here. So we made the safest decision that if we are able to get into work, to get here before that 7 a.m. warning to try and stay as safe as possible on the roads. But as you said, even me driving at 6:30 this morning, it still felt pretty treacherous out there. So I can only imagine now during this 7 to 2 p.m. how dangerous things must be. And the fact that there are fallen wall on a pedestrian street really means that we really need to be really careful. This is not a day to go out and look outside and think, oh, I want to see a picture, I want to feel what this wind is like. It is really dangerous, and the debris is the really serious thing that we have to think about. And although the emergency services and we're here, you know, for life-threatening situations, you know, it's still, we're running at a reduced capacity.
And you can't help but think, you know, when you see that debris, you know, you just think the wrong time, the wrong place. It could have been a very different situation. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on, letting us know. Saoirse, can I just come back to you on that? Because we're hearing that from an awful lot of people who were out in the very early hours of this morning. And I wonder, is there an argument here to have made it clear to people that they should not be on the roads way before the 7 o'clock?
I think it's a very dynamic and changing situation. And I think the advice going to people yesterday was clear. I think there's always that human temptation to want to go and have a look for yourself. This is definitely not one of those times. And as I said at the top, I feel sorry for people who are having to go out because
people are having to work. A lot of people are having to go out and work in this.
Exactly. You know, whether you've just heard from Andrew, there are people at the hospital or people who are domiciliary care workers out in their cars by themselves. I mean, that's very tough at the best of times, but at a time like this, it's actually very, very dangerous. So I think the key message has been taken on board by most people, and certainly if they haven't understood it to be serious, I think hopefully from what they've heard this morning, you know, from First Minister, Deputy First Minister, and us having this conversation now, they will understand that actually it is serious. And that message about do get in touch with people by a phone, by a text. It will be some time before electricity is restored right across Northern Ireland. So if you know that somebody will need supplies and you can get to them safely, maybe 1 or 2 hours after the official red alert ends, try and find a safe way of making sure that they are supported. But if people do need help, they need to reach out to the various agencies and make sure that whenever the time is safe, that they will be seen to first.
Yeah, some really good advice, and it is worth thinking about that if you're listening to this now. You know, it's not when the red alert ends, that doesn't mean we all open our doors and go straight outside the door again. It's still not safe. There'll be a lot of damage done, so please stay safe for the remainder of the day. Saoirse, thank you very much for coming on and chatting to us. That's Alliance MP Saoirse Eastwood there, sharing her experiences and advice. Let's speak now to BBC Northern Ireland weather presenter Barra Best. Good morning, Barra.
Hello there. Good morning, Holly.
Morning. So just to explain to us where exactly Storm Éowyn is just now.
It's gradually making its way out towards the northeast of Northern Ireland, pushing in towards Scotland now. But what's happening is the strongest winds of this storm are to the south of it. So while it's still moving across to the northeast of Northern Ireland, those southerly portions of the storm are still to come our way. So that's why that warning, the red alert, is in force until 2 o'clock. Already this morning, we've seen gusts of over 92 miles an hour in Killowen and County Down. The last time we saw gusts of more than 90 miles an hour was during Storm Alley back in September 2018. So it is fairly ferocious out there. We've seen stronger winds in the Republic, where they have had the strongest gusts of wind on record. That's how severe the storm is.
And some of the images that we're seeing this morning, the things you might expect, fallen trees and that sort of thing. We mentioned a broken telegraph pole in Blaris Road, more fallen trees in North Belfast as well. We're seeing the waves crashing over the barriers. In your experience, I mean, you've covered so many of these storms and we've talked about it before. We were warning yesterday about this being predicted as certainly one of the worst to ever hit the island of Ireland. How is it tracking so far?
Well, I was on the west coast of Ireland during ex-Hurricane Ophelia when it hit in 2017. And then it was described by authorities as one of the worst storms ever to hit Ireland. And I remember the winds just outside our hotel there. We didn't even want to venture out that far. And you could nearly lean into the winds that were that strong. And I thought, I've never seen anything like it. This is worse. And even the authorities in the Republic have been saying this morning that this is the worst storm that we have experienced. So, yeah, it is already record breaking. And sadly, will we have that warning still enforced at 2 o'clock? The worst for Northern Ireland perhaps is still to come for some of us. So the message to stay at home is a very good message.
Barabas, thank you. Stay with us, because I imagine this, as you say, is an ongoing story that will continue to change. And in terms of where the storm goes and who's been affected, let's speak to Gerry Murphy from Met Erin, who's on the line. Good morning, Gerry.
Good morning, Holly.
Gerry, we spoke before, obviously, yesterday, and you know the predictions were just how bad this is going to be. Has it lived up to expectations in the Republic, certainly?
Yes, absolutely. This has been an extreme storm. The red level warning levels have been very well justified, and we've had the all-time record wind speeds for Ireland, both mean and gusts broken for Ireland this morning. To give you just the details of that, at 4 a.m. in Maesteg in Galway, we had a wind speed of 135 kilometres per hour, 84 miles per hour, and that broke the previous record, and which was set in 1945. And then at 5 a.m. at the same station, we had a gust of 183 kilometres per hour, which is 114 miles per hour. And again, that broke the autumn record by one knot. So a record-breaking storm. And in terms of where it's affecting now, it's still really over the northern half of the island of Ireland, extremely windy. So we have still some red level warnings in operation further south. They will tend to lapse as we go through the morning. But really further to the north for Donegal, and then for the UK Met Office warning there for all of Northern Ireland, they lapse at, they're both in line and they lapse at 2 p.m. So extremely stormy still right the way through the morning and the early afternoon.
And am I right in saying Met Erin was actually knocked offline for a while by the storm?
A couple of our stations have the comms, and a couple of our stations in the west, Belmullet and Maesteg, after it broke that record, then basically they went offline because the wind was so strong on those coastal areas that it obviously knocked out the communications in some way.
And all back on just yet, or is still affected?
No, because people can't go out to... Hold on, I can double check for you just now. No, they're not back online yet because they can't be basically repaired or sorted out.
And I suppose
red warning lapses.
That's the situation that you're in now, is the fact that the damage has been done, but nobody can actually get out to fix a lot of it.
Yeah, well, the rule in the south is that in a red warning, you do not go out, which means, and that applies to emergency services and people who are charged to fix things up after the storm. So they cannot move until the red warning is lifted. So in the areas affected there, Galway and Mayo, in with regard to those comms from the weather stations, they're still in the red, so they can't be fixed until the red warning is lifted, which will be later on this morning.
Yeah, it's funny. We tend to try to avoid using superlative language too much when it comes to storms and just how bad it is. But already we're seeing, you know, weather presenters from within the BBC and talking about this being a once in a generation storm. In your experience, Gerry, how does this compare?
Well, it's on the basis that it's broke records, then it's the most extreme storm. There have been a couple of other extreme storms in my career. There was one in 2014, February 2014, which was named Storm Darwin. And actually, that was the first named storm. It was actually named by the media, not by Met Erin or the UK Met Office. And that was really the catalyst for the weather services naming the storms, because naming the storms and colour coding the warnings has been an excellent communications tool for weather services, because it gives people something to focus on with the name and then great information with the colour coding of the warnings. So that was a significant storm, but still wasn't as strong as this one. Mm-hmm. And then Ophelia was very strong in the south of Ireland, but not as strong, as widespread as this, and the records weren't as high for Ophelia as this. So yes, in many, many years, this has been certainly one of the strongest storms. The record-breaking storm for which the records held up until this morning in 1945, that was extreme as well, and there was Hurricane Debby, I've often heard of, in 1961. So there have been extreme storms on the island of Ireland before, but this will certainly rank up there among the highest.
And in terms of the timings anyway today, how do we expect this to develop? Are you through the worst of it now, or is it another part? I think Donegal, is it being affected at the moment?
Yeah, well, if people know the geography of Ireland, from Limerick to Dublin, south of that, the winds will start easing, but still extremely strong over the central part of Ireland. And then from Dundalk, Newry, across to County Mayo. From noon onwards, they'll begin to see things easing, but still they're up in over Northern Ireland and Donegal, still staying very windy into the early to mid-afternoon. The red warning lapses in Donegal at 2 p.m., but it continues as orange until 4 p.m. and continues as yellow until 11 p.m. So it's a gradual decrease, but the core of the really strong wind, both across Northern Ireland and Donegal, will be through the late morning and the rest of this morning and early this afternoon.
Gerry Murphy, thank you. That's Gerry Murphy from Met Erin. Look, if you have any experience right now that you want to share with us on the programme this morning, 0303 80 55 55. Brian's on the line in Carrickfergus. Morning, Brian. How are you? Are you okay? Are you safe?
Hi. Good morning, Holly. Yes. No, we witnessed a news report from BBC there from the Bangor area, and we were surprised it was so calm over there. Where we live is about 15 feet from the sea and at the marina, mm-hmm. Well, away from the marina at Carrickfergus and Swift's Quay. And the weather here is horrendous because it's coming a westerly wind, so we're getting the brunt of the weather. We are afraid to go outside, but we've looked out the front and there must be 30, 40 tiles have all come off the roof. The damage at the front, where all our furniture, which has been tied down and weighted down with breeze blocks, has all been moved as well with the winds. And the tide has just surged over the hard rock area and just swooped straight into our property. So it's frightening, but hopefully it'll not be too long before it blows off.
Yeah, and Brian,
really frightening.
We've weathered a few storms in our time, in all senses of the word, but Brian, how does this, you know, particularly where you live, have you ever felt anything like it?
No, I've never seen anything like this in Carrickfergus. I will be 78 years in about 6 weeks' time, and I've never experienced anything like this here in my life, living in Carrickfergus. Especially, we've lived here now at the marina for the past 5 years. Frightening. But hopefully it'll blow over. I have taken a lot of photographs and a lot of videos, which I'm going to download to the BBC News from 6 o'clock a.m. this morning. We've been doing this.
And Brian, how are the rest of your family? Are you keeping in contact, messaging, phone calls?
Well, no, we have a neighbour next door who's in her 80s, a lady in her 80s who lives on her own, but I've spoken to her on the phone to make sure she's okay. And
great.
Yeah, she's frightened, but she's okay. She's staying inside.
Well, Brian,
I told her to do.
You do the same. Stay inside there and stay safe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Well, thanks. Not be venturing out.
Absolutely. And, you know, for people listening to this, you know, don't be getting any ideas at all, because we see it all the time, the messages from people saying, you know, it's just another storm. I hope you're getting a sense here. It's not. This is very different. And we don't like to scare people on the programme. This is just about keeping people safe. Joan is in Ballyrobert and joins me. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Holly.
Joan, are you okay? Are you safe?
I'm in my 80s and I'm in Bungalow here on my own, but I'm fine.
Good.
I've just had my carer in and I just think we should give them a wee thought this morning. She had tears in her eyes with fear of being out on the road, and she's out doing the rounds to the leg of myself, making breakfast and dressing me. And she's terrified. She is, but I think she had the choice of coming out or not, and she did come out to all of us for our morning breakfast. So I would like just the public to give them a thought this morning for the pennies they're working for. They're out this morning where your doctor wouldn't come to you this morning. There's nobody would call to you this morning, and they're out willingly helping us.
Oh, Joan, I think that's a brilliant point to make. What's the name of your carer?
Yeah, Nicola.
Look, Nicola, if you're out there and you're listening, honestly, hats off to you, because it is absolutely terrifying out there.
Yeah,
and
I've seen the fear on her face when she came in, and she just rushed, got my breakfast, and I just stayed in my pyjamas today because we won't be going out anywhere, really. I won't be going out.
No.
So she didn't dress me this morning. But just give them a wee thought, Holly.
Oh, Joan.
What to do? Back out again for lunches and back out again for dinners.
And
should ease off by that time.
Well, look, everyone will be thinking about Nicola today. Joan, just reassure me, you're safe. You're not going anywhere today. You're okay.
I'm not going out today. I don't have to.
Joan, thank you so much for getting in touch with us.
All right.
Thank you, Joan. Cheerio. Stay safe. And look, to anyone else out there who wants to give us a call, share a story, pay tribute perhaps to someone else who is doing some job that means they have to be out on those roads today. It is absolutely remarkable. And we will keep you across all the details and the damage being caused by Storm Éowyn right across Northern Ireland today. And of course, in the Republic of Ireland, where it's had an impact overnight as well. We're hearing trees down, telephone poles broken in half, waves coming over the side. A lot of you have been sending in your photos as well to the BBC weather updates. So keep them coming in. That's BBC Weather Watchers online. A very good morning. As you've been hearing, Storm Éowyn is causing damage right across Northern Ireland. Millions of people advised to stay at home, stay safe. We're getting reports of trees down in the road. Joining me now, Alex Deakin, senior presenter and meteorologist at the UK Met Office. Good morning to you again, Alex. Alex, have we got you on the line?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. Good morning, Alex. Thanks for joining us again. Look, just give us an update, if you will, just where Storm Éowyn is at the moment and whether or not it's progressing as it's expected to.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, everything is going kind of to forecast. The low just clipping up to the northwest of Donegal, really intense area of low pressure. It's bottomed out now in terms of its central pressure, but that doesn't mean the winds are going to ease anytime soon. In fact, probably the strongest winds across Northern Ireland likely in the next couple of hours, particularly across the northern half of Northern Ireland. As we've been hearing, we've already seen gusts over 90 miles an hour and widely gusts of 70 to 80 miles an hour causing problems. And I think we will see that peak in those winds in the next couple of hours with further gusts of 80 to 90 miles an hour expected before the storm gradually works its way up to the north and west into western Scotland, and the winds will steadily ease across Northern Ireland through the afternoon, but still potentially damaging gusts even into this evening.
Goodness, because I think we were chatting about this earlier, the idea that a lot of people got this alert, the red alert, and thought, okay, well, we'll plan our day that it'll all be done by about 2 o'clock. In fact, I know of people who've asked people to come into the office, certainly within healthcare and that sort of thing. Okay, if you could just make it in for after two, that'll be fine. But that's not the case.
Well, it will be easing. I mean, the winds will be easing. Yeah, in the next couple of hours, they'll see the peak in the next couple of hours. But the winds will only slowly ease through the afternoon. There's still an amber warning in place, even when the red one runs out. So, you know, amber warnings still mean significant disruption is possible. And, of course, with the really damaging winds in the next couple of hours, that might just weaken things that the lesser winds this afternoon could cause further disruption. So I would say, you know, just be sensible, just think about it. You know, there'll still be significant power issues as we go through the afternoon. They will be easing, but it's going to be a slower process and still the potential for dangerous gusts, I'd say, well into the afternoon.
So just so we're clear for people listening, where exactly is kind of the peak of the storm right now?
So the low pressure itself is just to the northwest, and those strong winds are really barrowing in now across the west of Northern Ireland. So I think it's really, you know, County Fermanagh that'll see the worst gust in the next hour, but then right across the northern half of Northern Ireland in the next couple of hours. So before lunchtime, I'm expecting to see the strongest gust. So it'll gradually work from the northwest across the north, and then right across Northern Ireland, it'll slowly ease this afternoon.
And the advice obviously remains stay at home if possible.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. If you're in the red warning areas across Northern Ireland, and that extends into central and southwest Scotland, those red warning areas mean stay at home. The amber warning areas means only go out if you absolutely have to. As I say, particularly because we'll have had these damaging winds that will potentially weaken things. Even though the winds won't be as strong later, they could still cause significant issues. So, yeah, just think about your day in that terms. Tomorrow will be calmer. There'll be some heavy showers through the afternoon, but generally calming down through tonight and tomorrow.
Am I right in saying there's another weather warning in place for Sunday then?
Yeah, there's another low that we're keeping our eye on. I mean, this is all being caused by a very powerful jet stream, which are the winds high up in the atmosphere, a very energised jet stream. That's what's developed this low. It's spinning up another one for Sunday. Now, this doesn't look as intense, doesn't look as dangerous, and it's going to affect different parts of the UK. Yellow warnings have been issued for the south and west of the UK for rain and wind. But of course, you know, it's following on from a storm. So anytime you follow on from a storm, as I mentioned, that could have weakened structures. So there's a greater chance of branches coming down, that kind of thing. And of course, we've seen heavy rain moving through from today's system. We had quite a bit yesterday as well. So the next system could also provide problems with rain. So we've got yellow rain and wind warnings across the southwest for this next system. But I must stress, it doesn't look anything like as dangerous as this current storm. One more thing to mention about the storm, that the low pressure probably yet to be confirmed, but I think we've had a record in terms of central pressure or recorded pressure for January across Northern Ireland. This low is so deep, the actual centre of it moved to the northwest, but across Northern Ireland, I think we've had a record going back over 100 years for actual pressure recorded across Northern Ireland.
So we're breaking records here. Is there something that we will see again? You know, people saying this is sort of a once in a lifetime, or is there something that we should be getting used to?
I mean, with our changing climate, we are going to see more extremes of weather. I must stress, there isn't a direct link between climate change and wind storms. There's still quite a bit of uncertainty about whether we'll see more or fewer wind storms specifically. But what we do know is that climate change is making our weather more extreme. So when we see these storms, they certainly bring more rain because a warmer climate holds more moisture. So we're likely to see further flooding from these storm systems coming through in the future. And that's the kind of thing we're likely to see. But, you know, we see these storms so infrequently that it's hard to, you know, it's really quite hard to track them. Mm-hmm. We've been naming storms since 2015. So it's hard. It's not a huge sample size to be able to say whether we're seeing more or fewer of them. There's just a natural variation through the years. I mean, there's global patterns that can affect our you know, this is being caused by basically a cold outbreak in the US, which mm-hmm. is supercharging the jet stream. Things like El Nino and La Nina play a part, but they're all kind of these natural variations that we see. So it's hard to say we'll see more windstorms or more severe windstorms because of climate change, but we are seeing more extremes of weather generally.
Alex, if you don't mind, we might come back to you before the end of the programme today, because I know we will have a lot of questions. People have, you know, concerns over whether or not the red weather warning can return, if it can go away from their area, all that sort of thing. So if we bring you some questions before the end of the programme, that's OK. But for the moment, Alex Deakin, who's from the UK Met Office. But for now, I would like to speak to Alan O'Neill, who is Group Commander at Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service. Morning, Alan.
Good morning.
I appreciate you will be very, very busy over the next few days. So just talk me through some of the challenges that the fire service is facing this morning.
Okay, this day, so we have quite a significant range of calls right across the province. That's in line where we have car crashes, we have properties damaged, and we're responding to that. Some of the challenges are also around the road network. Obviously, there's a number of fallen trees, so we're supporting our colleagues in the ambulance services to make sure that we can help and support those who most need it in the community at this stage.
Yeah, how do you decide that at this point?
Well, it's always going to be a risk-based approach. We look at the life risks and make sure that we get the right response there to the incidents that are coming in. And I suppose that's a good point just to notice, just consider if they are ringing in, just is it a real emergency? And we will obviously prioritise what we send our resources to. And we'll just ask callers just to think about that as whenever they're ringing in. And are we the correct service to be calling? So if it's fallen trees and it's not affecting anything in particular, then that will be dealt with after the storm passes by the DFI.
I suppose the advice as well, you're dealing with things like obviously electrical wires, fallen trees. The advice is very much leave this to the experts. Do not, under any circumstances, try to do this yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the public safety messages that have been sent out throughout the year or throughout this week have really landed home, and people are staying at home. And we would encourage people to continue doing that. Report any concerns to the relevant authority, but those will be dealt with in due course. This is really about public safety, and really encourage people not to go and take any of those risks on themselves.
And I suppose for an event like this, it is unusual, but you are prepared.
Absolutely. We've been working with our partners throughout this week in particular, just to make sure our planning arrangements were in place. We've increased our crewing through across Northern Ireland and just really made sure that we were ready to respond. We are deep in the response period at this stage, and we have crews working right across the province, and that's likely to continue for the next number of hours. And then as we move into that recovery phase, crews still will be busy. And we just need to make sure public are aware, whilst that it may move to an amber warning, there's an expectation that roads and the road network may be affected. So we would still encourage people to just think about their journey before they would be going out.
I think that's a really important point that we cannot make enough on this programme today. Even when the red warning ends this afternoon, a lot of damage will be done. A lot of things will be vulnerable. And I think also, Alan, it's important to remind people, and people I think are adhering to the warnings. I think people have listened, but your resources are limited. It's not infinite. So if there is a way just not to put themselves in any danger if possible, don't do it.
Yes, absolutely. We are looking for the community to take those sensible actions today. And as I said, we do see that there's a lower volume of traffic on the road and businesses have worked with us. So we really do appreciate that. And we know that impacts on every individual. But for the next number of hours, the most sensible thing to do is try and stay put, stay at home and keep safe. If there is anything significant, do obviously call us and we'll provide the relevant information and we'll respond if that's required.
Alan O'Neill, Group Commander at Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service. Thanks for taking some time out to chat to us this morning, Alan. You stay safe as well. Thank you very much as well for all your texts and all your calls this morning. Keep them coming in, 030 30 80 55 55. Now, obviously, we've mentioned this on the programme already. Storm Eowyn will impact almost all scheduled hospital appointments, according to the Health Trusts. Emergency services will remain operating, but the Met Office's red weather warning will mean major disruption to services, not just today, but over the next couple of days, perhaps. A short time ago, I asked Tracy McCaig, who's Chief Operating Officer at the Department of Health, for the latest update.
We are expecting and have planned for significant disruption. Yesterday, when the storm was upgraded to red warning, we would have looked around our business continuity plans. So there was already some plans in place, even with the amber wind. So red, obviously, no travel during that red time zone. Appointments, planned appointments, will have been cancelled for today. We will work with individuals who have had a cancellation today to provide that appointment as soon as is practically possible. We will be providing care within our hospitals to those already within, those most acutely unwell. We will also have changed time slots for those with critical interventions, for example, renal dialysis. Appointments may have been moved to later in the day or indeed tomorrow morning. Moving into our communities, our community services will have had significant phone calls with families and with those that we provide support services to yesterday to ensure that the most vulnerable are able to be cared for during this period up until 2 o'clock. But that will impact both the morning calls and the lunchtime calls to some degree.
So just so people are perfectly clear, if they have an appointment today, will they know already that it's been cancelled, or can they take it from even chatting to you now, all appointments are cancelled?
All planned appointments and procedures today have been cancelled unless your health trust has already made contact with you to tell you otherwise.
Okay, so if you haven't heard anything, then it is definitely cancelled. It's tricky then for people who, because, you know, people can't help when they become unwell. Can people still feel reassured that there is somewhere for them to go? What should they do if they really do feel that they need seeing?
Absolutely. So part of the continuity plans for situations like this will be to protect the most urgent and emergency services and protect the vulnerable. So our urgent centres will be providing services today and our emergency services will still be there. So if you are acutely unwell, life-threatening unwell, you phone 999 as you would in any other day. Our ambulance service team will be there to receive the call and to support you when you need it. So that process is still exactly as it was in any other day, but it will be challenged today during the period of red, as we know, with trees down, roads access blocked, etc. But we're working with all of the other emergency response services to ensure that we can protect the public as far as we can.
Yeah, and just with that in mind, in terms of ambulances even, is that becoming an issue today? Are there less ambulances on the road?
I haven't had an update at this point. We have our silver command at 9 o'clock and we'll be reviewing all of that. But disruption on the roads, we've heard already about trees being down. But at the same time, our ambulance services are very well equipped to deal with this and to work with their other partners. So they will do all they can during this period of extreme weather. And you know, I pay credit to them because they will be on the roads when and the rest of us are probably not, and will be at home.
Yeah, and obviously these are extreme circumstances. We know obviously this is a healthcare system that is already buckling, that is already struggling. So it's hard to imagine how damaging even this one day can be.
It certainly is challenging, and we will have to have a period of recovery that will, as soon as this immediate period passes, we'll be into that stage to review the re-provision of appointments. But it certainly will be a difficulty for us over this period and into the weekend. But we are well adept. Our staff are very good at providing care at in the most challenging of circumstances. They will consider to do that as professionally as ever they have done. And we will go into our recovery period as soon as this period passes at 2 o'clock.
And just to pick up something you said there, is this likely then to have a knock-on effect on appointments in the days and weeks to come?
Well, it will have knock-on if, for instance, you are re-providing additional appointments into slots that have already been booked. But again, we will try our best to provide as many additional appointments as we can, and those will be prioritised to the most critical appointments that need to be provided.
And when you talk about continuity plans, obviously that has to be a very high bar. Can you compare in your own experience when you've seen anything like this before?
I think it's difficult. I certainly haven't been involved in a. None of us have been involved in a red weather warning, which covers the whole of the province, which is the most challenge. We may have had difficulties with parts of the province, so it's covering every service. And but we're very adept. Within health, we're very good at providing under significant circumstances. We've had our COVID plans. They're well-developed. Emergency plans come out of that, our continuity plans, not just within our health trust, but within our community pharmacies, within our GPs. All will have plans in place to ensure that if there was any situation that we're facing where normal services couldn't be provided, that we would still be able to provide our urgent and emergency care.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think because of any sort of... I can't think of another time that an external factor like the weather has had such an impact directly on appointments and on our health service like this since COVID.
Yes, I think that would be fair.
Well, Tracy, thank you very much once again for taking the time out to chat to us on this. And I know you've got a very busy day ahead, so thank you. That's Tracy McCaig, Chief Operating Officer at the Department of Health. And we are seeing some incredible images being sent in, not just on social media, but on the BBC website as well. We've just seen one from actually outside Galway Aquarium, which has been completely flooded overnight. The CCTV footage on the BBC News website showing that the water's surging around the exterior of the building. Staff there saying it's some of the worst that they've ever seen, but they have said that all the animals are safe and well. Just being shown another one of a glider stop completely blown apart in East Belfast. Just the whole of the roof is completely come off. Someone on that tweet saying wind increasing by the moment here, several more emergency calls and more ambulances responding to incidents here in Belfast. Let us know what it's like where you are. 0303 80 55 55. Let's speak to Elaine McGee, our reporter who's in the northwest this morning. Oh, and it does not sound good. Elaine, what's it like where you are?
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear the wind behind me, but we're really in the thick of it in terms of storm Eowyn and the northwest at the moment. The rain's absolutely pelting down at the minute here. Holly, I'm just in Derry city centre and the winds are absolutely howling. Now, I'm not immediately outside, I'm just sort of in a sheltered area, but if I look around, I can see a tree down just right in front of me, a big tree, branches aloft right from the roots, and then across the road where we are here at Radio Foyle, there is a street called Northland Crescent. There is a police cordon up there at the moment, a corrugated, a wall that was sort of made of corrugated iron and bricks.
Are you okay?
That wind's coming hard. Completely collapsed there. Yeah, I'm glad. No, I am in a sheltered area. I'm not putting myself in any danger in any shape or form. Completely collapsed there in the last few hours and left one car completely mangled, Holly. And thankfully, there was nobody in the vicinity at the time. We understand there weren't any injuries, but actually the cordon tape was actually now, I can see, just blown away. We've really hit the peak here in the northwest at the moment. Kind of from about 5 a.m, Holly, you could really feel those winds picking up. I travelled into the city just about 7 a.m. It wasn't the worst, I found, at that point. There was a lot of debris on the ground. the city centre on a Friday morning. It was just like a ghost town. There was very few cars on the road. But really, from about 8 a.m. onwards, it really has hit in here. There are a very high number at the moment of properties without electricity. Not so much immediately here in the city, but in areas like Killaloe, which is about 6 miles on the outskirts of Derry, places like Breedy, Mara Mason, Castledurg and County Tyrone. I think the last I checked on the NIE website, there was 1,200 properties affected there. So it is getting a bit brighter now. We're going to get a better sense maybe of the extent of the damage, Holly, that has been wreaked, I suppose, over the last few hours. But for now, we're still very much in the thick of it.
And you mentioned, you noticed it was a bit of a ghost town. Do you get a sense that people have listened to the alerts, that people are staying at home?
Yeah, absolutely, Holly. I mean, if I just stick out my head out the door here, there's not a car, there's not a person, it's just like for a city, it is just like a ghost town. People really seem to have heeded those warnings. But you know what? You couldn't go out in it. You can hear it yourself, you know. You just wouldn't dare. And I mean, all the businesses locally have certainly heeded the warnings as well. But most have kind of taken the approach of either closing completely for the day, or some have seen, depending on how the weather progresses. But if the red warning lapses after 2 and it is safe to do so, the major shopping centres, some of the cinemas here said they'll try and open at 2 o'clock. But I suppose it will all depend on how the days go. And we know with the electricity situation as well, NIE can't get the crews out until it's safe to do so. So there's no estimate at the moment on, you know, when power will be restored. So I think people are just hunkering down, sitting tight and kind of riding out the storm until it passes over us.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing to mention. A lot of people, if you are thinking of venturing out, it's not worthwhile for a start. Plus, nothing is open at all. Everyone has taken the advice on board. Elaine McGee, stay safe. Thank you very much. That's Elaine McGee in the Northwest for us there this morning. Now, we mentioned the impact that this is having on the health service, of course, today. We mentioned the ambulance service, and we have just had an update from the ambulance service. They say we have good levels of cover, although some staff were delayed getting to work. We are extremely grateful for all they do as they face into the rest of the day. We will continue to prioritise and respond to life-threatening and serious calls only. Other calls may be dealt with by advice from paramedics based in the control room. The challenges we face relate to debris and fallen trees on some roads, which will result in some delays, for which we apologise. That's the ambulance service there. Unsurprisingly confirming that there will be some delays today, but they are trying their best to operate as normal. Let's go now to the BBC's Ireland correspondent, Chris Page. Chris is in the west of Ireland for us this morning. Chris, you've had quite a morning.
Yeah, Holly, I'm in Westport. Dare I say it, things are a little bit calmer than they were an hour ago. It feels like the peak of this storm has passed. That said, it is still pretty ferocious out there. I'm in a hotel just looking out at the sea. We're kind of in a courtyard tunnel, so we can shelter from the worst of the winds while still being able to see what is going on, what conditions are like. I'm about 70 miles north of the point in County Galway where a record wind speed for the Republic of Ireland was recorded at 5 o'clock this morning, 114 miles per hour. Another rather unwelcome record, if you like, has been set by the number of people here now without power. It's over 700,000 homes and businesses. Never before has that number of people been without electricity across the country. So certainly there's a huge amount of disruption. For those very few people who are venturing out in this, who for whatever reason feel that they have to, well, they're clearly struggling to walk against the wind. But there are very, very few vehicles on the roads. I've seen a few breakdown recovery vehicles go up and down the street here. So that's a sign as to the problems some people might be having. But on the whole, it seems the vast majority are heeding the advice from the authorities to stay indoors, stay at home if you possibly can.
And Chris, in many ways you feel like the ghost of Christmas past there, because things are just calming down where you are. It's sort of ramping up to a peak where we are in Northern Ireland. And I mean, you mentioned that people do seem to be adhering to the advice. It does feel like this red alert. People are listening. They understand the dangers.
Yes, absolutely. And certainly around this town of Westport, I mean, obviously this is a part of the world that has had its fair share of storms over the years rolling in across the Atlantic. The West Coast is particularly exposed to really, really strong winds. But what people have been saying just in the hotel here, the staff, and also if you look at the likes of social media channels around the town, people are saying they really have never seen anything quite as bad as Storm Aowen. It does feel like something unprecedented. People really just need to look out the window. You can see and hear debris crashing on the ground just about everywhere you look. I'm looking right now over at a pub which is right beside the seaside, a very picturesque location, no doubt. Whenever we've got really nice sunshine here, but canopies have been blown down. Trees are still swaying really dramatically, as I say, even though we're past the worst of the storm here. There are some barriers that were put up to separate the tables from the sea. They've all been blown over. So really anybody casting an eye outside here will certainly not feel at all. They should think about actually going outside.
Yeah. Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate you taking the time out to chat to us. And I know Chris has had quite a morning out there in Westport. I want to speak now to Glyn Roberts, who's the Chief Executive of Retail NI, just before the 10 o'clock news. Because, Glyn, good morning to you.
Good morning, Holly.
I'll be honest, most people yesterday, all they wanted to talk about was the fact that Lidl and Tesco had shut.
Indeed, I think it's fair to say the majority of our members are closed at least until 2 o'clock, because obviously the safety of their staff and customers is the absolute top priority. And even though they may lose a day's trade, it's that safety factor that has to be paramount in all of this.
And that's, you know, given we have this red alert, and you, as you mentioned, it's for the safety. And I say that because a lot of people sort of thought, well, we know it's bad because, as I say, some of the big supermarkets are shut. It's kind of the baseline. But this is obviously going to have a huge impact on businesses, on retailers. One day can be hugely damaging.
Well, it will. And of course, with schools being down, you know, we have a lot of our member staff had to make, last minute childcare arrangements. Obviously, public transport is going to be down for obviously a large part of the day. So even when the storm does subside, there's going to be challenges getting obviously staff into the store and obviously customers as well. So, and obviously, as you rightly say, you know, they've lost a day's trade as well. So it will be a very, very challenging time. And obviously there's a further weather alert coming tonight as well in terms of snow and ice. But I think, you know, we've just got to batten down the hatches and get through it the best we can. And obviously try and get, 93,000 homes and businesses without power as well. So, you know, it's a very, very challenging situation. And obviously, I think, you know, we do need to give a big shout out to obviously the hardworking NIE engineers that are, you know, will have a very tough time today.
And as you say, and rightly so, we want to make sure staff are completely safe. So when it's safe and they can return to work, when can we expect shops to open again?
Well, obviously, they will be monitoring how the weather goes today. A lot of them are planning to open, obviously, after 2 p.m. So I would hope that as we get into the afternoon that we will obviously see the situation improve in terms of businesses, both, I suppose, retail and indeed hospitality as well, reopening the later part of the day. But obviously, there, as I've said, there are significant challenges to public transport. A lot of our member staff use public transport. A lot of them had to make alternative childcare arrangements today with the schools being down. So it's a very, very challenging, difficult day for our members. But, you know, we will get through it and, you know, obviously reinforce the message to people to stay at home and to stay safe and to, you know, follow the advice and guidance.
Glyn Roberts, thanks for your insight on that. That's Glyn Roberts, Chief Executive of Retail NI. A very good morning. It is 4 minutes past 10 on Friday, the 24th of January. Holly Hamilton here with you for the next 25 minutes or so, getting all the reaction and all the damage caused by Storm Aowen, which has been wreaking havoc right across the country. A lot of you getting in touch. We had somebody on, Joan, earlier, who wanted to thank her carer, who was called Nicola, who apparently had tears in her eyes as she came through the door this morning just because of how treacherous her journey had been. Jean, and she just wanted to thank her for the work that she does. Someone else called Carol has now got in touch as well. Carol says that she wants to thank the carers in her area too. Two arrived this morning for my husband, Rhonda and Nicola, and they were brilliant. Thank you very much, and thank you to Rhonda and Nicola. Let's speak now to Kevin Scott. Kevin, who works for the Belfast Telegraph, who's been out and about Belfast this morning. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Holly.
Funny, we were talking about your tweet just a few minutes ago, a glider stop which had been completely dismantled by the wind. Just tell us what you've seen this morning.
It's been chaos pretty much across really hard, maybe about 3 o'clock or so, and the wind has really started to pick up as soon as it came, so maybe about 7 or 8 this morning. That's when those got the wind really started to do damage. And there's been trees littered across the road, almost on the M2. I'm currently in Randallstown. At the minute, getting here was extremely difficult. The M2, as you go along, there are police just moving along the road there with contractors who are cutting trees to try and sort of keep the eyes open. You refer to East Belfast there. That was a glider stop at Hollywood Arches. Luckily, obviously, public transport completely cancelled today. We can see why now. As you can imagine, that happened this morning at 8:30. That glider shortly before that. So, you know, that would have been a time where a lot of people would have been standing, waiting on the bus, maybe to go about their business there. So, extremely shocking scenes, and especially to see in the city as well. You expect to see a lot of trees down on rural roads. But we've seen there, obviously, BBC Nolan reporting this morning that a building had collapsed in Belfast, partially collapsed there as well. And where I am here in Randallstown, a car was struck by a tree, and the driver has managed to escape the vehicle and frame that. So it's been pretty dangerous out here this morning.
It is sort of staggering, isn't it, Kevin, when you're driving around Belfast. And I was there very early this morning, as I say, well before the red alert was in place. And it feels strange. It feels very strange out there today.
It is. It almost goes back to the first day of COVID, when everybody was told to stay. It was almost reminiscent of that. Near the West Link this morning there on Donegal Road, where a tree had come down, and the only people that were using that motorway really were coming off at the Broadway roundabout and going straight into the Royal Victoria Hospital. The same again going up the M2, everyone was using the exit off at Antrim Area Hospital. So it seems that most people that are on the road today are healthcare workers or working at least in a hospital setting.
Kevin, I appreciate you haven't got the best line, but thank you very much for sharing your experiences this morning with us. Let's go now to Kevin Sharkey, who's also in Belfast, the BBC's Kevin Sharkey. Good morning, Kevin. What's happening where you are?
Hello, Holly. Well, I'm just leaving the scene in South Belfast, where the gable wall of an apartment block has been, demolished, blown down. It's a three-level apartment block, and it's the attic wall at the top. And you can see right through inside the attic. So the concern would be that if the wind catches the inside, what might happen next. But for now, the scene here is one of debris and bricks lying on the street, blocking the street. This is quite a substantial apartment complex just along the River Laggan here. And I spoke to one local resident. He said that about 7 o'clock this morning, they heard an almighty bang. And when he looked out, the bricks and the mortar was in the street, and they could see the huge hole on the side of the attic wall.
I mean, that in itself, Kevin, it's the very idea to people. It's kind of paints quite a picture, doesn't it, that this wind has blown part of a building down.
Yes, and that's the reality, because I was in Belfast City Centre this morning, and it was reminiscent of lockdown. There were so few people around, shutters down on all the cafes and shops where ordinarily you'd see them doing a thriving trade. Very few people about, fewer still cars, and just the sound of the howling storm around every corner. And it's coming in gusts, and when the gusts come, they're strong, Holly, they're fierce. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising at all that we're hearing about so much damage already. But the reality is, with the power of this storm this morning, we're going to hear about a lot more damage as the coming hours pass.
And some of the other images that we're seeing coming into us, you know, the trees, the branches on the roads, rubbish just strewn across, scaffolding being pulled down. I mean, just tell us some of the things that you've seen when you've been out and about this morning.
Well, just a little bit as you described there, Holly. We just drove up Botanic Avenue and it was like tumbleweeds to an extent. There were bins, big bins, blown onto the road. There was rubbish and all kind of detritus on the streets and the road and branches basically everywhere you look. And that's the general picture. But when you look at that kind of detritus and debris and branches, that is at the lower end of the kind of damage and destruction we're going to be seeing over the coming hours, because I'm getting reports about canopy has been blown from some forecourts, petrol forecourts and so forth, and slates been blown from houses, and bricks been blown off walls. So I suspect the damage is only going to increase, and the extent of it is going to widen as the day goes on.
Kevin Sharkey, for the moment, thank you very much. And as I said earlier, if you've seen something or want to tell us something that you've noticed close by you, wherever you are in the country, let us know. It's 0303 80 55 55. Let's speak to Simon Calder, who is our travel expert, the Independent's travel correspondent. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning.
We talk at length about disruption all the time, perhaps not on this scale.
Well, look, it is absolutely staggering. And I've shuddered listening to your coverage this morning because, well, I was in Belfast on Monday and Tuesday. The city was calm and bright. Everything was looking great. And it's terrible to hear about the damage which is happening. And, of course, I just hope that people are staying safe. But anybody who was hoping to travel, well, it's very, very difficult, of course, as you've been reporting. Translink has no buses or trains today. The ferries sailing from Belfast and Larne to Cairn Ryan in Scotland, and also, of course, the link to Liverpool from Belfast, those are out of action for the time being. There's a hope that this evening there may be a Stena Line sailing 7:30 from Belfast to Cairn Ryan. And if you look at the airports, well, actually, George Best Belfast City is worst affected. I'm counting 50 cancellations in and out of there. A lot of them actually British Airways to and from London Heathrow, and across the international, got about 30 cancellations. Also some long delays because some of the airlines are, rather than cancelling flights outright, saying, look, we're going to delay it by 6 or 8 hours and we hope we'll be able to fly later. And City of Derry, first three Loganair flights in and out this morning cancelled, but there's hope that the London Heathrow service may operate this evening, and that Ryanair is also trying to get into the airport. But really, wherever you're heading, it's going to be a tough day today. And let's hope that things can kind of start to get back to normal tomorrow.
And given it is such a fluid situation, obviously, and I was having a quick look this morning to see what flights have been cancelled. Belfast City Airport seemed to make a very early call, and it's particularly all the flights that were this morning in the early afternoon. Belfast International, for example, it was harder to see which flights were going ahead and which ones were not. If you are flying today and even into tomorrow, what should you do?
Well, you have to do what the airline says, effectively, because they will be making the call. Now, actually, quite a lot of this is because the airport staff can't get in because, of course, it's very dangerous to be out on the road, public transport not in operation. And so, therefore, it's been what the airports can do has been very limited. But in any event, the airlines do not wish to operate in very high winds. They actually don't really want their aircraft to be in Northern Ireland at all, which is why we've had a number of cancellations of British Airways flights. I think the two evening flights due in last night didn't come in because they would have been staying overnight. And all you can do is, exercise your passenger rights, which means that the airline has to provide another flight as soon as possible. That's easier said than done because so many flights are full at the moment, and then hotels and meals while you're waiting, which is going to be more applicable for people who are trying to come back to Northern Ireland who have been prevented from doing so. Indeed, it might be that one or two people are enjoying a longer holiday at the expense of the airline. So jolly good luck to them.
In your experience, when we have these huge weather events, how much of a knock-on effect does this have? Are we likely to see delays for the next couple of days, the next week?
One reason that the airlines have been quite forward at cancelling flights, although Ryanair actually was, most of those sort of came through in the early hours of the morning, is that they want their aircraft to be in the right position to pick up again. So I'm expecting probably a full service tomorrow. I haven't seen any cancellations scheduled so far. There will be a few aircraft that are late getting in, but the main thing is going to be the, I estimate, tens of thousands of passengers who are hoping to fly in or out of Northern Ireland, who are now trying to resuscitate their plans. And unfortunately, it's the people who were booked to travel on flights over the weekend who get priority. If your flight's been cancelled, I'm afraid you go to the back of the queue.
Oh, that's a good point. I think there are going to be some very busy flights coming in and out of Belfast over the next couple of days. And obviously Dublin as well, which we haven't mentioned. I think that's had huge delays in Dublin as well. And just before you go, obviously people will be talking about already compensation and that sort of thing. I think when it comes to weather, am I right, then that kind of moots all that?
Oh, sure. There won't be any cash compensation from the airlines. This is already going to cost them several million pounds. But it may be that you're... travel insurance will give you the odd £50 or so if you're 12 hours or more late. So have a look at that, but certainly no cash compensation from the airlines.
Simon Calder, always great to have your insight on the programme. Thank you very much, and stay safe as well. Let's speak to Norman, who's in Bangor. Norman, you've got in touch with us.
Good morning. You're having some issues.
What's happening?
It's not a very good morning. At the minute, I've two roof tails off my roof. Ran in the garden. My fence at the back of three boards off it.
Oh, goodness. When did that happen?
And the last storm, it was here. My bin ended up 100 yards up the street, all smashed. And I had to buy two new bins. So this time I learnt my lesson and I've put all my bins in the garage. So I have.
So you had enough time to prepare. You moved all the bins
and
everything
garage
out of the road.
So that, because I learned my lesson from the last time, I ended up paying £50 for two new bins that were smashed.
Do you know what, Norman? That's a really good point. We're learning, aren't we? Because I have to say myself, I made a point of making sure the bins were out of the road and safe
That's
this
right.
time, and it's the one that we always forget.
Anyone has a garage, put your bins in the garage because they're plastic and they'll just blow away.
Well,
I have a roofer coming out next week. So I don't know how many tails will end up roof tails.
I think you've done very well. I think you've done very well, Norman, to manage to get a roofer coming out to you next week. I think that's going to be a very, very busy roofer.
I know, he's that busy, the fella. He's having to put work back for to deal with emergencies.
Oh, goodness sake.
So he is. So dear knows how many people will have ridge tails and roof tails off the roofs with a storm. My fence at the back, I don't know how it's still starting, so it'll probably go too.
Well, Norman, thank you very much for getting in touch, and I'm sure there are many people who can relate to your story, a lot of people who'll be looking at their roofs this morning. Norman, thank you for your call. Just having a look here at some of the updates even coming in from the Republic of Ireland. Irish Water urging people in Ireland to conserve water as they could face supply issues because of the storm. They're saying that around 155,000 premises are at risk, but that the majority should still have water due to reservoirs. The service says significant disruption is expected and crews will begin to restore supply when it is safe. We'll bring you the latest on that in just a few moments' time. But for now, let's speak to Alan Stout, who is the chair of the BMA here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Holly.
Alan, I'm sure today, I mean, we knew that this was coming. It was forecast, but it brings its challenges.
Oh, it absolutely does. Yeah, and again, actually, particular challenges for health service and any other of our kind of urgent public services. because we have a balance between trying to maintain a service, which is very much an urgent and emergency service today, because we have to follow the alert and the guidance like everybody else, but we also have to maintain the safety of our staff and also actually patients as well. So we can't be encouraging in the middle of this red alert patients to be moving around the place as well. So it's very much contingency planning. And very much just trying to deal with those real urgent cases.
As you say, it's a very hard line to walk because at the same time, you want people to stay home. You want people to, particularly your staff, to be safe. But you want the message to go out there that if people do need help, help is there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the description is it's like a Christmas Day sort of service, certainly in the trusts. With the EDs will be operating. So if you have a proper emergency, there are people there. They will be dealt with and an emergency will be dealt with. And equally, general practice is open as well today. They're operating on contingency. They'll all be operating slightly differently. But a lot of practices are actually open with skeleton staff and that ability to deal with urgent cases. But the big plea would be for people to realise that it is difficult for our practices, for our hospital staff, and to use the services appropriately and only if it's urgent and emergency today of all days.
How does this compare? And I was asking one of your colleagues earlier on in terms of how this feels, this huge event that has happened that's not directly connected to healthcare as such, but is causing huge problems like this. It's hard to remember a time where there's been anything quite like this apart from COVID.
Yeah, actually, we've learned so much from COVID in terms of contingency planning. And that ability to maintain service in the face of a crisis. The big difference, of course, is that this is going to be very short-lived. This will only be a matter of hours.
Yeah.
We can get through a matter of hours, and we will bounce back on the other side of it, and we will deliver services and so on back as normal very, very quickly. But again, it highlights, and everything like this just highlights, no, number one, how important health is, but also just how stretched it is at the moment as well. And anything that impacts on trying to deliver some sort of normal service does have that long-term tail to it as well.
Well, Alan, thanks very much for taking the time to chat to us. That's Alan Stite, who's chair of the BMA. I'm just looking at some of your texts here as well. And speaking of bouncing back, as Alan said, someone spotted a trampoline. It's always standard. Trampoline on the Crumlin Road at the corner of Clifton Park Avenue. So people watch out again if you are there. People, I think, are mostly in their homes today, but please avoid at all costs. Let's speak to Brian, who is in Bangor this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Hello, good morning, Holly. I'll just say for your colleague Norman from Bangor, I hope and pray that he gets his home in order. It's so important to have a good foundations and hope politicians and MLAs waking up. I think Bangor Aorta is damaged again. You know, we need money to be spent wisely in this country. You know, we talk about putting like a cable car, for example, there up to the quarry in the Mourns. You know, would it withstand the weather like today?
I suppose, what control do they have over the weather, Brian?
We don't have a lot of control over nature, but we can make plans wisely, spend money wisely. For example, improving the roads, making roads safer. Human life's precious. Human life's important on roads and health service. You know, it says in Luke 21 in the Bible that there'll be fearful signs across the earth. So it does.
Well, Brian, you stay safe, okay? Stay safe. Okay. Stay inside if you can. That's Brian and Bangor there. Brian made a good point. He mentioned Aurora Leisure Centre, which is in Bangor. It's just been brought to my attention, a photograph of the leisure centre. Unconfirmed at the minute, but this is being shared on social media. And a huge amount of damage. A huge amount. I mean, there seems to be what looks like insulation from the roof that's landed on the ground outside, which would suggest the roof isn't entirely damaged. If you have more information on that, if you've seen it, let us know. 030 30 80 55 55. Let's bring Barra Best, our weather presenter, back in. Our best weather presenter, Barra, how's it going?
Oh, very busy, as you can imagine.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Warnings all over the show right now at the minute. The red alert, as you mentioned, in force until 2 o'clock. Downgraded to amber for a while after that, and then finally to yellow until midnight. But on top of all of that, within the past hour, the Met Office has issued yet another weather warning for Northern Ireland, this time for snow and ice. And that's from 7 o'clock tonight right through until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, thankfully, most of any snow will be in the west and over high ground. It'll be more ice that becomes a widespread impact because of falling rain today and lowering temperatures tonight. So something to bear in mind if you're planning on travelling later on this evening, overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning.
Well, apologies. Your line sounds a little bit like Barabbas is taking off in a helicopter. But you're not. I can assure everybody, Barabbas is not taking off in a helicopter. But very briefly, Barab, just before you go, we are getting some messages from people who are sort of saying, oh, it doesn't seem too bad where I am. Is there a suggestion that it hasn't reached them quite yet?
Well, in this setup, it's always going to be a case of some places will get it worse than others. And it happens in every storm that we have. So, yeah, if it's not that bad where you are, then that's pretty good. That's you're one of the lucky ones, because in other places we're having severe winds. We've already seen widespread disruption. So, it is going to be a case of wait and see. Okay. Where is worst hit.
Barabbas, thanks so much. As I say, stay safe. Assistant Chief Constable Davy Beck from the PSNI is on the line. He's also the Gold Commander leading the response to Storm Eowyn. Good morning to you, Davy. I mean, obviously, you have a very busy day, so we'll not keep you too long, but just tell me some of the challenges that you're facing this morning.
Yeah, thank you and good morning. And just picking up on Barra's point there, the message still is stay at home, stay off the roads and stay safe. I've just come out of my multi-agency meeting, and again, my thanks to all the agencies who are working really hard in terms of protecting communities right across Northern Ireland. But we are seeing significant winds, significant disruption. We have recorded winds now in excess of 90 miles an hour, and we expect that the winds will peak over the next few hours, so that we have not seen the worst of this. So my message to people is sit tight, stay safe and stay indoors.
Is there a suggestion that some are not doing that?
There are some people still out and about on the roads. So again, we're appealing to people not to do that unless you are emergency services, critical health workers that are required to respond to a particular issue or incident. Stay at home and stay off the roads, please.
Obviously, there are a lot of warnings in place, preparation in place. Do you think it was sufficient?
Well, look, this is a historical storm, I think, is the way that it's being described by the Met Office. All the agencies have worked really hard over the last number of days to prepare for this. No one agency can cope with this level of storm disruption and the impact of that. And this, the impact will be felt over the rest of the weekend, and we will work together with our other agencies to try and resolve and restore services and support people right across Northern Ireland.
Within that multi-agency meeting, what was being flagged or highlighted as some of the biggest issues that are being faced?
Well, the issues continue to be just the risks in terms of the wind. This is really substantial and significant threats and risk to life as a consequence of debris and indeed of damage as a consequence of those winds. And the best way to avoid that is simply by staying indoors and staying safe.
And there are no reports of any injuries or anything like that just yet?
At this stage, no. We continue to provide as best possible a normal service across ambulance service, police and fire service. We have had to respond to what we would call normal business across all those agencies, and that is happening. We, of course, need to look after our first responders as well, so we risk assess all those issues. But we will, where there is that absolute need, we will respond, we will continue to provide a service, and we will work with our partners to achieve that.
And obviously the conversation this week has been much around, you know, the number of police officers available for an event like this. Do you have sufficient numbers? And again, just to flag up the fact that we have had issues within the health service of staff being able to even get into work in the first place. I imagine that's something that's happening within the PSNI.
Well, we took steps to minimise non-operational activity and non-urgent activity, and to maximise, therefore, as a consequence, the number of officers that we had available to local commanders to respond to the needs in respect of this. We adjusted our start times to try and ensure that people could get into work and indeed get home from night duty before the peak of the storm and that red alert scheme. So there is impacts in terms of officers, their shifts, their well-being, etc. But I have to say, officers have responded to that really, really well, and I thank them for that.
And obviously, you know, we're talking about the storm here. There are other issues in crime that can continue and are ongoing. What can people do? Are there still officers around to help?
Absolutely. We are still here, and if there is ongoing crime, report those to us, and we will do what we can to respond to that.
Business as normal. Assistant Chief Constable David Beck, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for all our contributors on the programme this morning. Stay safe out there, folks. Stay indoors if you can. Connor Phillips will look after you now. He's up next. The time is just approaching 10:30.
In the country. Listen again on BBC Sounds. Tweet at Stephen Nolan.
Yoga is more than just exercise. It's the spiritual practice that millions swear by. And in 2017, Miranda, a university tutor from London, joins a yoga school that promises profound transformation.
It felt a really safe and welcoming space. After the yoga classes, I felt amazing.
But soon, that calm, welcoming atmosphere leads to something far darker, a journey that leads to allegations of grooming, trafficking and exploitation across international borders.
I don't have my passport, I don't have my phone, I don't have my bank cards, I have nothing.
The passport being taken, the being in a house and not feeling like they can leave.
World of Secrets is where untold stories are unveiled and hidden realities are exposed. In this new series, we're confronting the dark side of the wellness industry, where the hope of a spiritual breakthrough gives way to disturbing accusations.
You just get sucked in so gradually, and it's done so skillfully that you don't realise.
And it's like the secret that's there. I wanted to believe that, you know, that whatever they were doing, even if it seemed gross to me, was for some spiritual reason that I couldn't yet understand.
Revealing the hidden secrets of a global yoga network.
I feel that I have no other choice. The only thing I can do is to speak about this and to put my reputation and everything else on the line. I want truth and justice. And for other people to not be hurt. For things to be different in the future.
To bring it into the light and almost alchemize some of that evil stuff that went on and take back the power.
World of Secrets, Season 6, The Bad Guru. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.